Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles, turn with me tonight to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. The Lord's definitely been good to us. If it's not a day and time to which to live for the Lord, it's today. God has prepared a people, God has prepared a nation that doesn't really know the Word of God. That's really lack of hearing the gospel being preached. You ask what brings the lost to come to know Christ as a personal Savior? It's the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ being preached. How are they going to hear unless a preacher preaches? That doesn't mean a preacher in the pulpit, but that means that every Christian has an ability, has a chance, if they know Christ as their personal Savior, to give the gospel to somebody else. God, I was studying this portion of Scripture, and I brought my mind in one thing that it was talking about soul winning. In reality, it's not. It's a part of it, but it's not the whole thing. Tonight, I ought to preach to you a little bit on bearing fruit. Bearing fruit. Here in John chapter 15, we come to this portion of Scripture, which is the discord in which Jesus was teaching his disciples. They had just done the Passover. Jesus had bowed down and took his own girdle around him, the own towel that was around him, and washed the feet of the disciples. Jesus has taught them now that he's going to go away, that it was needful for him to go away. And then he was teaching them how when he leaves, a comforter, which is the Holy Spirit of God, will come and enable the men to do what God has given them or what Christ had commissioned them to do. If you read in the New Testament, really the only commission that God's given to us is to go out and give the gospel. Yes, there's other things that God wants us to do, but really five different times in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and the beginning of Acts that God gave a great commission, and that great commission was to give the gospel, what Jesus Christ did on Calvary's cross, to a lost nation. We're living in that day today. There is no greater time to bear fruit than it is today. Look at all the wickedness and the sin that's happening in our world. There is no greater time to bear fruit as a born-again believer than it is today. Not that fruit, let me read the text before I get into my sermon. If you have your Bibles in John chapter 15, starting in verse 1, the Bible says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit is taken away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. I am in the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Obviously, we find here in this passage of Scripture many of times it's saying bearing fruit. It actually really has 3 degrees in this portion of Scripture about bearing fruit. We're going to talk about those tonight. But in this portion of Scripture, we have not only the disciples in chapter 14, the disciples just left the upper room. It says, let us arise. Arise, let us go hence. They're not in the upper room anymore, but they're not at the Mount of Olives just yet. They don't get there until chapter 18, where Jesus is going to go in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's going to be betrayed by Judas, the one that really doesn't know him as his personal Savior, one that had walked with him, one that had seen and heard the teachings, but was not a disciple, a true disciple. He was considered a disciple until the sin was shown in his heart and out of his life and what he did. Here we find that Jesus is now walking to his deathbed. He is walking to where he's going to be betrayed, and he knew that his disciples only had just a little bit more time with him, just a little bit more time here on this earth. Well, if you study this passage of Scripture, if you go into Jerusalem and you study the scholars and they talk about Jerusalem, how it had many of vineyards, had many places where they had grapevines, where they bore grapes. They also had other things, the olive tree and all that. But most of the things that you saw in Jerusalem, what Bible scholars have said, was grapevines. So he's somewhere between the upper room and the Mount of Olives. obviously he's given a earthly picture to a heavenly truth here. He uses a grapevine. Most of us know what a grapevine is. And in that day of time, the disciples would know exactly what Jesus was saying. We find here Jesus said fruit, that you bear fruit, that you bear fruit, that you bear more fruit, and that you bear much fruit. A lot of times you come to this passage of Scripture and you want to think, well, that's talking about soul winning. It is. It is talking about going out, giving the gospel to the lost people, talking about fruit. But it also talks about the fruit of a character or the Christian character. If you read in Galatians chapter 2, chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Yes, it's talking about bearing fruit. If you go to Romans chapter 1 through 13, it's talking about the fruit of the converts. Now he says in Romans chapter 1, verse 13, now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, at oft times I proposed to come unto you, but it was let hitherunto that I might have some fruit among you. That's talking about converts. It's talking about people coming to know Christ as a personal Savior. But it also talks about Christian, Christian character, but it talks about Christian conduct. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 11, it says, being filled with the fruit of righteousness. You ask me, what fruit is it talking about here, Brother Paul? I will have to say yes to all three of them. I would have to say, yes, it's talking about winning Christ or winning souls for Christ. Yes, it talks about the way you live and the way you act. And it talks about who you are in Christ, the character in which God has given to you as a born-again believer. It's talking about all those things. It's talking about bearing fruit for God. We have here my first point. We're talking about bearing fruit. Understand this. When you're coming to this context, you're coming to the context with a picture of bearing fruit. It gives a picture of salvation, and we're going to talk about that. But it's talking about bearing fruit. You must understand the context of the Scripture, especially in this portion of Scripture. Some people come to this one and say, we'll see this and see this, and we're going to see that here in a few minutes. The first thing about bearing fruit, to bear fruit, you must be connected to the true vine. It says, I am, this is a great I am that Jesus was saying, I am the true vine. The disciples understood what the vine was. They saw it. They saw it every day of their lives almost. But they also understood it that the vine represented Israel. In the Old Testament, if you see Psalm chapter 80 verse 8, it says, but thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt. In Isaiah chapter 5 verse 7, it says, for the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel. It talks about in Jeremiah 2:21 that I have planted thee a noble vine. It talks about in Joel chapter 1, my vine is laid waste. Obviously the disciples understood this because they saw it every day, but they also understood this because they were called the vine in the Old Testament. Now Jesus just told them a truth that went against every teaching that they've been taught, that they were the true vine. Jesus just told them a profound truth that they were not the true vine, that he was the true vine. It is Jesus Christ here in this passage of Scripture. He's saying, I am the true vine. For you and I to bear fruit for God, we must be connected to that true vine. What does that mean? We must know Christ as our personal Savior. We must come to faith and knowledge in our Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done on Calvary's cross. He came and he lived a perfect, sinless life for 33 and a half years, and his ministry was for 3.5 years. For 33 and a half years, he lived on this earth in sinful flesh, but not being a sinner. In the likeness of sinful flesh, the Bible says, but without sin. He lived a life perfect before God. He was the only one that could do that. He was not born of the bloodline of man, but he had the appearance of flesh. He was conceived, the Bible says, by the Holy Ghost. He was God's only begotten Son. It was only Jesus Christ that could make the payment for our sins. It is only Jesus Christ is going to make the way possible for us to have a personal relationship with God the Father. Jesus said himself that I am the way in chapter 14, verse 6. I am the way, Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The Bible says, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. In order for us to bear fruit for God, we must be connected. We must be plugged in to God, to the true vine, which is Jesus Christ. I used a picture there a couple months ago, talking about being connected. And I was preaching another sermon to the young people, and I used this illustration. I brought a fan, a white plug-in fan that I have in my office, and praise the Lord for it. Sometimes it gets hot up there, and I need it. I need that fan. My wife come outside, or she had come and brought me dinner, and she's like, can I turn this thing on? It was cool already for me because I wasn't outside, but in order for that fan to turn on, it had to be plugged into a power source. It would have never turned on. It would have never came on if it wasn't plugged in. It would have never came on. You could have pushed that button for, if you want to say, for eternity. It would have never came on. But once you plug it into the power source, the 120 volts that's coming out of your plug, which is a three-prong plug, out of your wall, which is coming from the street in, once it's plugged in that power source, you hit that power button, guess what's going to happen? That fan is going to start blowing. It's going to start cooling you down after a while. In order for us to bear fruit for God, we must understand that we have to be connected to the vine. That we have to be connected to the very source of life. That source is Jesus Christ. In the beginning of John, John said he came into this world, and let me read the verse to you, the beginning of John chapter 1. John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Bible says the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. There it is. In him was life. The Bible says he is the true life. Now, understand this comes with another context too. That means there's other vines. If Jesus said, I am the true vine, he is saying that there's other vines besides me. He's saying I'm the only true, genuine vine that there is. There is another vine. That vine is called the world. That vine is called the things of this world that is, the Bible said, is contrary to God. The Bible says, any man love the world, the Bible says, the love of the Father is not in them. It's clear. You can't get no clearer than that. You cannot get any clearer than that. You can't love God and love this world. You can't sit on the fence teeter-tot and say, God, I love you, but I love this worldly things. The Bible says you're going to love one and hate the other, or you're going to despise one and cling to the other. That's how it's going to be. The Laodicean church in Revelation chapter 3 were lukewarm. He was saying they were lukewarm because they wanted to serve God, but they also wanted to serve this world. You can't have both of them. It's either one or the other. So the only way that you can bear fruit, the only way that I can bear fruit, is if we're connected to the vine. Number two, the way you and I are going to bear fruit is you must be cared for. You must be cared for. So you tell me I'm not left to myself? No. Look what the verse says. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. You know who's one that's watching, caring over his garden? God himself. We heard last Sunday night, if God be for us, who can be against us? Nobody can. So you're telling me, Paul, that I am not left to myself after I come to know Christ as my personal Savior? I'm here to tell you, yes. God did not leave you to yourself. If he did, you would have gone back into the way in which you started from. God did not leave us to defend for ourselves. God is caring over the vineyard. He is the one, they say the word husbandman, it's used also in Matthew chapter 13, where it's talking about a vine dresser. One that comes in and watch carers over, they picture this as a vineyard. That there is somebody that's heading over that vineyard that comes in and watches and cares for the vines or the vine in that vineyard. The same thing with you and I, because we are connected to the true vine. God cares for us. God cares for us. He did not leave us for or to ourselves. He does the work that watches over the vineyard. He's the one that is nurturing it. He's the one that is trimming it and cutting off the dead stuff, the things that we didn't need in our life. He's the one that's defending it. His whole interest and his whole intent is the growth and the welfare of you and I. Why would God save us, then leave us to ourselves for our own destruction? The Bible says the heart is desperately wicked, deceitful above all things. Then it says, who can know it? God saying himself, he knows it. He knows your heart. He knows my heart. He knows that we're wicked and awful people. He knows it. That's why it scares me sometimes to hear a teenager saying that I'm trying to follow my heart. Do you really know what your heart is? Do you really know what your heart has led you to thus far? And you're gonna say in your own heart that you're following your own, or your own mind, or to me, that you're following in your own heart? It's deceitful. God did not leave us for himself. Jesus said, I am the true vine. But guess what? You have somebody watching and caring over you night and day. One that never sleeps. One that knows everything that's happening in your life. One that knows is all-knowing, omnipotent, all-knowing, omnipresent. And he's always there. He's everywhere. He's all-knowing. And he's caring. The one that is for us, the Bible says in Romans chapter 8. The one that is for us, the one that is not against us because we are born-again believers, is the one that is watching over us. Why do we need anything else? We don't. We have God the Father watching over us. We got God the Father caring for us. He's got some, as you would say, some jobs or things that he does here in verse 2. Listen to this verse. Every branch in me. We understand what that in me is, right? We understand that means salvation. That beareth not fruit, he is taken away. Now, don't look at this verse and say, well, that means I could lose my salvation. Many skeptics of the Bible will take this verse and say, see, I told you, you can lose your salvation. That your salvation is not for eternity. That's not what the scripture is saying. The scripture is not talking about literally salvation. It's talking about fruit bearing. I did a word study. When I was in college, I took 4 semesters of Greek. I'm not going to tell you the Greek word. I'm not going to tell you the meanings behind it. But you want to tell you what I found out when I did word study after taken away? The word taken away literally means to lift up. Literally means to put on the top. It doesn't mean that he is going to cut it off and take it absolutely away and throw it away. It does not actually mean that. It means that those vines that are running across the bottom, where the low part of where the dirt is, and we're talking about Jerusalem here, where the dirt is on the road, and the ones that are not getting the light. And if you look at this little corner right here, there is no light shining there. There's a shadow. And you think about this little corner right here, you would never get no water. If the water was coming straight down, the water would never hit that spot. So it wouldn't get no sunlight, nor would it get any water. That's what Jesus is saying here. He's not saying that you're going to lose your salvation. These are ones that are born again believers that are not bearing fruit. It's because they are in the dirt of the world. It's because they are so far in their muck and mire that they can't bear fruit. They're so low up underneath the vine that they're getting no sunlight, and that they're getting no water, and that they're getting no nutrients to grow fruit. He is the husbandman. He is the vine dresser. He comes into the garden. He comes into our lives and he finds us where we are and he takes us and he puts us from that dirt and that mire, that clay, and he puts us on top and he puts us on top of the rack, on top of where all the other grapevines are that are already growing. And he puts us on top and on that top, he cleans us off and shines us up and he puts us on top to where we can receive the sunlight to make nutrients and we can receive water so we can grow. This is not to mean literally cut off. This to means that he's taking care of us. That means a born-again believer that does not bear fruit, they are truly born-again believers, God is going to take care of them. God is going to take care of them. A lot of people come to this portion of Scripture and they say, it's talking about cutting them off, wiping them away. No. It's talking about a loving Father in heaven that will not let us go in so far in sin, but that will watch care over us. Of course, he's going to allow us to go as far as, because he never goes against our will, but he's going to make us so miserable that we can't stay in it. That's how you know somebody's truly a believer. When I sin against my Father, when I sin against God and his righteousness, at that very moment, I get convicted. At every moment. And if I let that conviction and knowing that I've sinned against God linger, I'll break fellowship with God. A fellowship that only can be restored. That only can be restored by Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 2 that he's our advocate. He's the one bringing us to the Father. He's the one that restoring us back to that natural place where God wanted us in the very first place. It's not talking about losing your salvation. It's talking about those that are born again believers that are underneath where the dirt of the world is and underneath where the shadows of this world is, that is getting no sunlight from God and that is getting no water. God takes them up, cleans them off, puts him on top. Because he cares. Because he cares. How do we bear fruit? Because we have a caring God that loves us and that won't let us go so far into our sins, that takes us and cleans us off and put us back to the place where he wanted us in the very first place. We see there that's talking about restoration. Number three, to bear more fruit, we must be cleansed. Look in verse 2. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. I did another Greek study. A lot of people come to this portion of Scripture and they say, that's talking about pruning. If you go in a Greek lexicon, the very first definition for purging is cleansing. The very first definition that comes up is cleansing. What does that mean to you and I? That God loves us so much that when we're bearing fruit, he cleanses us to bear more fruit. When we're bearing fruit, we're doing things. We're not just talking about soul winning. We're talking about Christian conduct, Christian character, and bringing converts to the Lord. Yes, it's talking about all those things. And when we're bearing fruit, he comes to our lives and he says, well, you got something right here that's hindering you some fruit over here. Let me clean that up for you. He comes into our lives and cleanses us even more that we'll bear, the Bible says, more fruit. God does not leave us to ourselves. He cares for us. And God cleanses us so we can bear more fruit. Do you know how he cleanses us? Glad you asked. He tells us right in the Word of God. Look at verse 3. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Did you see that word? You are clean. You know what the greatest commentary of the Bible is? The Bible itself. What did that word say? God comes into our lives and cleans us. How does he clean us? Through the Word of God. That's why it's so necessary for a Christian to be in the Word of God constantly. To be a daily Bible reader. To be a daily Bible study. To be daily in a communion. We're going to talk about it here in a minute. Daily in communion. Look at Psalms 119 verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways, being clean, by taking heed there according thereto, according to thy word. How do we be clean? How do God cleanses us? Through the word of God. Psalms 119, 105. The Bible says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Not only does it cleanses us, but it gives us light to live this life for God. God's word does that. You know why we have so many dead Christians today that are fruitless Christians? It's because they're missing their Bible in their life. If you're saying this is the only thing that's keeping me from bearing fruit, I will have to say yes. I remember a portion of time in my life where my prayer life was stronger than I've ever had it before. But my Bible reading, my Bible study wasn't strong. Then there was a portion in my life where my Bible reading and my Bible studying was, I say it was on point, if you know what that means. It was right. But my prayer life lacked. God taught me a middle ground. How much we do the studying, as much as we need to do praying. Because it's God the one that reveals us His Word through the Holy Spirit of God, which we find in John chapter 14. The Comforter which is coming to you, He says, shall teach you all things. It is God Himself that comes and lives and dwells inside of us. Not only is we need to be connected to the true vine, but He's the one that cares for us. And He's the one that cleanses us. And He cleanses us, through His Word. And last thing, we not only bear fruit by God's watching care over us, we bear more fruit by the cleansing work of the Word of God. And thirdly, we bear much fruit through constant communion with Christ. Look at verse 5. I am the true vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, was the next six words. The same bringeth forth, is that word, much fruit. We go from bearing fruit, because God watching and caring over us, then he cleanses us, and finds places in our life where we have maybe a hidden, darkened area of our hearts that God says, listen, you haven't given me that area. Listen, you have sin in that area. Let's get it right. Get it right so you can bear more fruit. But constant communication and constant fellowship with God, constant communion, that's my word, constant communion brings us to the point where we're bearing much fruit. The word is abide. It says, if he that abideth in me and I in him. This word abide gives us this picture of constant communication, or constant communion with God, a constant relationship with God. It can also mean to continue in, to remain. It also says and gives understanding of a place of residency. When we abide in Christ, that's where we live in our daily lives. And it's only living constant communication and a constant continuing relationship with God that we're going to bear much fruit. Many of us don't even understand what that is. Many of us haven't even got to the part of the cleansing. But that's where I desire to be. In constant communication, constant fellowship with God the Father. To have nothing in my heart and my life to hurt my relationship with Him. And He does it through His Word. The message is tonight, when you be connected to bear fruit, we are cared for, and that caring for brings fruit in our lives. We are cleansed through the Word of God to bring forth more fruit. And then this last step, where you and I should desire to be in constant fellowship, in constant communication, in constant communion with God the Father. Maybe during this message, the Holy Spirit spoke to your heart. I know He did. You want to know why? Because when the Word of God is being opened, when the Word of God is being preached, the Holy Spirit of God is speaking. He always speaks through His Word. I don't know which stage you are at, He talked about. Maybe you're here today and you're not connected to the true vine. Maybe you're here today and you never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. The Bible says you can do it anywhere in your life. You can do it anywhere. You don't have to come to an old-fashioned altar. I think it's a place where God speaks to our hearts. I think it's a place where we can speak to God too as well. But you can do it right there where you're sitting in your seat. Maybe you're at this place to where you're fruitless in your life. And you're in so much sin, but you know you're a born-again believer because the Holy Spirit of God bears witness in your own heart that you're a born-again believer, but you know that you're away from the Lord. Come to Christ for cleansing. He is the cleansing power. He says that in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Listen to this. And cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And God cleans us to bear more fruit. Are you at that stage in your life where you see God coming in your heart and your life and saying, listen, you don't need that in your life. That has taken time from me. That in your life is making you sin against me, and you need to give me that part of your heart, that part of your life that you're looking at those things that you shouldn't look at. You're listening and watching those things that you shouldn't watch. Or you're doing those things that you should not do. Or you're thinking about those things that you should not be thinking of. And then lastly, are you in constant communion with God? That's where I desire to be. Do you desire that? Father, speak to your people now. Lord, I desire my own life to be at constant communion with you, constant fellowship with you. Lord, I pray that you'll speak to my heart and the hearts and lives that are in here today. Lord, if there's one in here that does not know you as their personal Savior, I pray today under the sound of my voice that they'll come to know you as their personal Savior. I pray that you'll draw them to yourself that you're constantly doing in their lives, even now, Father. I pray for the ones that are living and abiding and dwelling in the muck and mire of this world and in the sin, but know that they are Christians. I pray that you will convict their hearts, Lord, that you could do your cleansing power in their lives. Lord, if there's things in our hearts that you want out, that you don't want in there, I pray that you'll do your work through your word. And then, Father, help us to get to this point, in this place, to have constant communion with you. Lord, speak to hearts now. In Christ's name, amen. Every head bowed and every eye closed, if you want to stand to your feet. The altar is open as Brother Jim's